Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford, and I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. We're here for the severe weather edition of Double Coverage. Wherever you're listening to us today, we hope things are going well for you and that that you're weather aware and hunker down if you need to. But it's that time of year with storms passing through. And, you know, Logan, I'm just kind of glad that we don't have any real storms passing through on the beach right now. You know, Ole Miss is still in the prepare its response phase of the NCAA investigation. You know, all those storms will come through in the fall probably. We'll get some final answers on how all that plays out. Right now, it's a lot of baseball and some spring football going on at Ole Miss. And I know you got some different things going on in Starkville. I had some news come out of there this week with the Bulldogs. How's everything going, man?
Well, it's going good. And you mentioned storms and stuff. That's actually what woke me up this morning, was receiving probably three or four consecutive texts from people at Mississippi State informing me about football practice this afternoon, whether it could be moved indoors, talking about the baseball game. If it happens to get rained out tonight, they'll play two full nine-inning games on Friday. So, you know, people are getting prepared even early on a Thursday morning with some of this weather we're expecting this afternoon.
Well, you know, preparation is good now. And I think the weather this afternoon is going to be more an issue down there in Starkville. It's supposed to have moved through Oxford by that time. So I think they're expecting to play baseball tonight in Oxford, the Rebels getting started against South Carolina in a top 15 series. I guess it's top 10, depending on any of the multitude of college baseball polls out there. But we go by D1Baseball.com. We use their top 25 rankings, and those folks have Ole Miss at number 8, South Carolina at number 14. First pitch tonight at Swayze Field is 6:30. They'll play at 6:30 on Friday and 2 o'clock on Saturday. So I'm all about some Thursday, Friday, Saturday baseball, Logan. It's kind of nice, especially with Easter coming up on Sunday, to have that day off. Before we get started, folks, let's do a little in-house promotion here. Let's remind you about some other very good productions of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo where you go to search for podcasts. That's Brad Locke and Derek Russell and everything Northeast Mississippi news, current events, all there on The Memo every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Wednesday afternoons, look for Prep Rally with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps. High school sports, everything you need to know there about the high schools in our area. And Logan and I, of course, are here with you with Double Coverage talking MSU and Ole Miss. Logan, talk to us a little bit about the news you had coming out of men's basketball this week.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't anything that was unexpected. I think, you know, we kind of knew this was coming all along, but Malik Newman is going to declare for the NBA draft. The most interesting thing about that is he left the door open to come back to Mississippi State. There's a new rule in place this year, and I think it's a great rule, and Ben Howland does as well, where players can declare for the draft. They can go through workouts. The NBA teams can pay for their trips to travel to their respective workouts for 2 days. And as long as they don't hire an agent, they can return to college if they don't hear the draft grade that they would like. And I think that's a great thing. And that's something Malik Newman's going to do. He's not going to hire a draft, not going to hire an agent. And he's going to go through this process. They can go up to the combine in Chicago. And as long as they pull their name out of the draft by May 25th, they can return to college. And Malik Newman's going to continue. He has all online classes this spring semester, so that's not going to interfere with any of his academic work as long as he keeps that up to date and keeps himself in good academic standards. He can come back to Mississippi State next year as well. So talking to Malik the other day, he said he's hoping for a first-round draft grade. He's hoping to have a good workouts and improve his draft stock that way. But said if he was a second round pick, then he would probably return to Mississippi State, which is good news. And talking to Ben Howland, he said he would welcome him back with open arms. Just looking at you know, some of the draft projections, I don't see anything that has him in the first round at all. I think, you know, the injuries and just, I think that really took a toll on his freshman season and caused him to plummet. I mean, he entered Mississippi State as a potential lottery pick. You know, I think that kind of fallen off with him switching from shooting guard to point guard, which he's at 6'3". You don't see a whole lot of 6'3 shooting guards in the NBA. So he was going to try to switch positions in college and work on his point guard skills. And I think those still need some polishing up, still need some work there. So, you know, I don't know if he returns to Mississippi State or not. It's probably up for, you know, for him and his family to decide. But, if he does come back, that leaves Mississippi State with a good core of guards to work with him and Quindary Weatherspoon and IJ Reddy, who will be back for his senior year. So that gives Mississippi State a good core with this top 10 signing class that Ben Howland's bringing in. So, it's going to have to wait and see over the next couple of months, see what Malik decides to do, whether he decides to keep his name in the NBA draft, you know, whether he goes to D League, if he goes to overseas, or if he returns to Mississippi State.
Well, Logan, is he locked into the second round? Does anybody have him in the first? Does anybody have him in the third, I guess, in terms of projections and things like that?
Well, there's just two rounds in the NBA draft. And,
right. That's right. I was thinking that there was a second, third round. Just two, man. That's what makes it
tough.
Well, that would kind of lock you into the second round if you're not in the first, wouldn't it?
Right. And, you know, there's so many players that are coming over from Europe these days. You know, and obviously Malik Newman has a wealth of potential, and, you know, there are teams that will draft somebody based on potential. And that's what they do a lot with these European players. And, you know, he definitely has a huge upside, and, we'll just have to see if a team gambles with that upside, if they think that, you know, they could turn him into a point guard. But, you know, from what I saw this past year, you saw flashes of that NBA talent. You saw flashes of what everybody, you know, the potential that he has. But you didn't see it consistently. You know, he needs to get better on defense. He needs to get better at finishing around the rim. All those point guard things he needs to work on, you know, taking care of the basketball, dribbling, you know, just things that he didn't have in his skill set that, you know, he improved on. He improved a lot defensively throughout this year, but it's still not NBA ready, I don't think.
Shifting gears a little bit, let's talk spring football. I know you haven't seen much at State. We'll come back and talk about these baseball series. Want to finish up with those two big series for Mississippi State and Ole Miss beginning tonight. But spring football, you know, we don't see number one, they don't practice every day, and there are only you know, select practices that are open to the media. One of those was when we were at the SEC basketball tournament in Nashville, Logan. But I'll tell you, I just watching the Rebels earlier this week, when you don't see them, you know, every day or even every week right now, it's like you're taking in so much when you're there. And number one, let me preface this by saying, Allen Iverson and I are probably not going to agree on a lot of subjects, but man, we're on the same boat there when you're talking about practice. Man, we talk about practice. You know, he didn't think talking about practice was a good thing. Well, you know, there's some value in it, but at the end of the day, look, this is just practice, and there's not a game on the schedule for these guys until September, when the Rebels open up with Florida State in Orlando on the evening, on Labor Day evening, and ESPN national telecast for that game. But right now, just watching these guys earlier in the week, I was impressed with a couple of positions, one of them being Eric Swinney at backup running back. This is a guy who will be a redshirt freshman now, probably even with Jalen Walton and kind of a crowded house at running back and some talent there last year, he could have carved a niche for himself, found a role as a true freshman. I think he's going to be that kind of back. Hugh Freeze on signing day in 2015 raved about Eric Swinney. This is a guy, be about a 200-ish, maybe 5'11". Something like that. Another Georgia kid, played at the same high school that produced Mike Hilton. You know, a very solid high school program with good physical players. Freeze raved about him on signing day. Said he was the only running back in that 2015 class that they made Eric Swinney the priority. He made sure his staff knew that they were going after this guy. They were all in for Eric Swinney, and they signed him. He was one of the top 10 running backs in the country, and in that range, according to several of the recruiting services, and probably would have gotten some playing time as a true freshman, but an injury forced him to the sideline, and he was redshirted. So this is all new. This is like that new guy that everybody wants to see operate a little bit, and he's got the pads on, and he's playing really with an eye on playing time for the first time. And just watching him earlier in the week, had a couple of really nice runs too that stood out. One of those was when he got past the first level of the defense. So he's there, around the linebackers and the defensive backs are closing in, and he lowers his shoulder and just runs over A.J. Moore, a safety. Now, it's without the benefit of video, let me work hard to describe this for you. It's not like he ran over Moore and stuck cleats in his face and kept on going, but that would be the next step, because he lowered his shoulder, ran over Moore, and while it was the end of the run for Swinney, it was Moore on his back, and there was so much noise. One of those noisy collisions, Logan, where everybody turns around. If they weren't paying attention, you look to see what happened, and all of his offensive teammates really just jumping up and whooping and hollering and congratulating him when he got up off the ground. It's the kind of thing that on third and one, he gets the one on that run. He won the collision, but kind of the power that he showed right there, a few plays later, he got into the second level of the defense again, and then showed some lateral movement and showed some juke a little bit and put a move on a defensive back and made him miss, and all of a sudden had a clear path, to the end zone. So there's a lot to get excited about for this guy, and he's not going to go into the first game. I would not think that he would be on the two deep depth chart unless he has a monster August practice, and he could because I think he has that ability. But the Rebels really have a lot of experience at running back right now, with Akeem Judd and Jordan Wilkins both coming back, and suddenly at that position Ole Miss has some bigger backs that they really haven't had. You go back to the first backs under Freeze, Jalen Walton had been there since Freeze signed him. So he was 4 years with Freeze. He was a smaller guy. For a time, you had Itavius Mathers, who was a smaller guy, under 200. Mark Dodson was around for a while. He was 200-ish. All of a sudden, you've got some guys who have a little more weight on them, a little more muscular. Akeem Judd and Wilkins both approaching that at or approaching 220. Swinney with a body you can put some weight on and build up a little bit, and suddenly you've got a different makeup of most of your running backs. Now they've got a bigger guy already there in I'm blacking out here, Logan. The Oxford guy, not DK Metcalf. It's the big runner that's coming in. Man, let me find my roster here, Logan. You think you could? You can recall all these guys by name, and you just cannot. But we're going to keep on, and I'm going to come back because I want to make sure that I get this guy properly covered, and I am just missing it right now. But all of a sudden, Ole Miss has bigger backs than they have had, more power. And you look at these guys, Logan, running the football, and short yardage has been a struggle for them through the years. It just has. And then you're using gimmicky type things like Jeremy Liggins, or really just bringing in a quarterback, Barry Brunetti, to be your short yardage guy. You had to resort to different ways to be effective in that game. And right now, I think it's going to be about the running backs. I think you're going to see less of the quarterback sneaks. And DK Buford at 5'11", 221, the sophomore, out of Lafayette County High School in Oxford, really is a guy that, he came in as a defensive back. They've moved him to running back, and he gives them a lot of size and strength at the position as well. So, while Eric Swinney is certainly turning heads right now, and there's a lot of excitement for him, there is a lot of talent and a lot of depth at the running back position for Ole Miss right now.
Yeah, in Mississippi State, it's kind of been an unusual spring. Mississippi State practiced, it's held its first practice about 2 weeks ago, and then went 13 days before it had its second practice, and that practice was held this past Tuesday. Mississippi State will go in pads for the first time this afternoon. I think they're probably just going in shoulder pads. The first two practices were just in helmets and T-shirts and shorts out there, and yeah, just really haven't been able just to see just a whole lot. Mississippi State's practices are open in the spring. You know, they're completely open. We can watch the entire practices. On Tuesday, though, Malik Newman's press conference leaked over into the practice time. And by the time I got my story written, you know, Mississippi State's practice was mostly over. I did get to see probably the last 45 minutes, which is the most important 45 minutes because that's kind of when they're doing their scrimmage thing. And although they weren't in pads, there's still some contact out there a little bit. You know, they do have a quick whistle when they're out there scrimmaging with no pads on. But, you know, kind of what I've been able to see from Mississippi State, they're going to have a different look defensively, at least from what I've seen the first 2 days. Just simply, you know, not only do they have four new defensive coaches, they're going with a more of a 3-4 look. And they keep saying they're going to be multiple on defense. They're going to have multiple fronts and stuff like this. But the first two practices have indicated that maybe the 3-4 is going to be their base defense. You know, that's kind of what they've primarily been running out of. And, you know, they're running with, you know, four linebackers. And that fourth linebacker that they've added is a couple of former defensive ends. I mean, you've got a guy like Will Coleman and Anthony Mullins out there that, you know, traditionally play with their hand on the ground, but they're standing up in coverage right now. And then a different look that I saw from them Tuesday on offense, it's not really a different look. They just didn't run it just a whole lot over the last few years. Is that pro set look where there's two running backs on each side of the quarterback and the shotgun. And, you know, with the bevy of running backs that Mississippi State has right now, I think that's good. I mean, obviously, you know, they were loaded at running back last year. They've added some more running backs this year with some guys that redshirted like Alec Murphy and Nick Gibson. So they've got to get some more backs onto the field. So, you know, Mississippi State, you know, they still got Brandon Holloway back. They still have Ashton Shumpert back. They still have Dontavian Lee back. They still have Harris Williams back. So those four guys back, and then you throw the other two guys in the mix, you've got a half a dozen running backs on scholarship that you've got to get the football to. And I think that, you know, playing with two backs, Mississippi State eliminated the fullback from their offense about 3 or 4 years ago. So, and some of those guys are bigger backs, like Dontavian Lee's a big back. And, you know, obviously Ashton Shumpert is a big back as well. So those guys kind of can play that dual halfback, fullback type of role for you if you have both of them back there. And, you know, I was really impressed with what I saw from Brandon Holloway in Tuesday's practice. I mean, he's obviously not the biggest guy in the world, probably only goes about $165, but he kind of emerged as Mississippi State's starting running back the last half of the fall last year. And he showed a lot of burst, a lot of quickness in practice on Tuesday, kind of skirted out some stuff. And then, you know, I saw a couple of screen plays that looked very good, you know, running with throwing some screens to Harris Williams, throwing some screens to Ashton Shumpert, you know, and that's a big part of the game as well. So, you know, some different looks and some different things that I've seen from Mississippi State so far this spring. We'll probably know a little bit more as we get closer, get into pads, and start some of these fall scrimmages in the stadium, or some of these spring scrimmages in the stadium. But right now, you know, just what I've seen for a couple of days in T-shirts and shorts out there, you know, the biggest thing that jumps out to me is just the 3-4 look that kind of primarily shown on defense.
Folks, you're listening to Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. I'm Parrish Alford, the Ole Miss beat writer, and joined by Logan Lowry, our MSU writer, shifting gears, talking a little baseball. Ole Miss and South Carolina getting started in game one of their series tonight at 6:30. Logan, looks like this is going to be a series of good pitching. South Carolina coming in with a 2.25 team ERA leading the SEC. Ole Miss third in the conference with a 2.42 ERA. And really, the success for these two pitching staffs has come about in a little bit of a different manner. The Gamecocks have gotten it done more with their starters, three very good starters, very good right-handers, a sophomore and Clark Schmidt, who will start tonight, and then a couple of freshmen. With Ole Miss, it's been more about the bullpen. You know, the Rebels have an SEC-leading 11 saves, and they've just gone to that bullpen early and often, and that's kind of where the success has come, even though Brady Bramlett has gotten off to a fast start as the Game 1 starter with 19 strikeouts looking, that leads the SEC. He's 4-0 with an ERA of slightly more than 2. So looking for some good pitching in this series. I'll tell you, these South Carolina ERAs now from their starters are pretty stout with this young group. I mean, they've settled in quickly. I mean, Schmidt's the older guy. He's a sophomore. He's 5-0 with a 1.27 ERA. The game two starter, Braden Webb, a freshman, 4-1, 1.71 ERA, leads the SEC in opponent batting average at 147, opponents hitting just 147 against him. But this may be the opportunity in the series, Logan, where Ole Miss can be patient and get on base with a few walks. He's walked 17 in 26 in the third inning, so that's far more than the other two South Carolina starters. Schmidt, who has walked only 6 in 35 and a third innings, or Game 3 starter Adam Hill, another freshman, who has walked just 4 batters in 22 and a third innings. So a lot of pitching coming in this series. South Carolina, though, has been more effective as an offense than Ole Miss, at least in terms of numbers. The Gamecocks come in one of the top hitting teams in the SEC with a batting average of 325. So that's third in the league. Ole Miss hitting 285, but Ole Miss has hit better of late. They were just 235 after that Louisville series, and they're up to 285 now, I should say. That's 11th in the conference. But what this Ole Miss offense has done has gotten the clutch hit most of the time, and that's clearly evident when you start out the season with 20 wins and 22 games. They've been able to get hits with runners on base. The average is climbing, but they've been a clutch offense, and they're going to have to continue that this weekend against South Carolina. But if all things go according to plan, according to how they've started off, this could be some games that go pretty quick. And let me correct myself. The Ole Miss bullpen has 8 saves this season. That does lead the SEC. They have a collective ERA of 1.87. So Ole Miss getting it done out of the bullpen. Logan, who do the Bulldogs have this week?
Well, the Bulldogs have the Bulldogs this week. Yeah, Georgia's coming to town for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. And I'm kind of, you and I are kind of be on the same schedule. 2 games at 6:30 on Thursday and Friday, and then a 2:00 start on Saturday, which is really good for Mississippi State fans because they'll be able to watch the women's Sweet 16 game up in Bridgeport, Connecticut on Saturday, which starts at 10:30 in the morning. And by the time that wraps up, it'll be time to head out to Duty Noble for a 2:00 start for the Georgia series. But, Mississippi State baseball has kind of been Jekyll and Hyde over the last couple of weeks. Some big weekend series. I mean, obviously they beat a previously number 9 ranked Oregon team, swept the Ducks here at home. And then they lost 2 midweek games to Eastern Kentucky and Oral Roberts last week. And then they could turn right back around, open up SEC play on the road at number 2 ranked Vanderbilt, and they take the first 2 games of that series. They won a couple of 1-run games there. That Friday night game going 13 innings, Mississippi State wins 2-1, and then they come back and win a 5-4 on Saturday, and they lost the finale 12-6 on Sunday. Some great pitching for Mississippi State on the weekends, and just really got to figure that midweek out. You can't afford to lose games to an Eastern Kentucky and an Oral Roberts. Obviously, Mississippi State played Mississippi Valley this past Tuesday, and I don't know what Mississippi Valley's RPI is now, but they were 298. So Mississippi State's RPI took a hit just by playing that game, and Mississippi State won that game 16-1 on Tuesday. Jacob Robson actually had an inside the park grand slam. You just don't see that very often. And he had that against Mississippi Valley on Tuesday. And so guys hit the ball effectively. Mississippi State hit the ball exceptionally well with two outs over the last couple of weeks. Actually, in their last three games, they have 23 two-out RBIs. And in the last six games, they have 31 two-out RBIs. So that's really effective hitting, you know, with two outs and, you know, runners in scoring position for Mississippi State to kind of come through is kind of clutch hitting that you were talking about that Ole Miss is having success with. Mississippi State is as well. And I mentioned, you know, starting pitching Dakota Hudson over his last couple of outings, and Austin Sexton kind of as well had been very effective, that kind of 1-2 punch on Fridays and Saturdays. And then Daniel Brown has kind of been their Sunday guy. Mississippi State kind of still TBA on Sunday. They got a couple guys that could start. But I know Georgia brings in a lot of left-handed bats. So I would expect to see Daniel Brown again in the series finale on Saturday to kind of pitch to those left-handed bats, since he's a left-handed arm and kind of been their only left-handed starter they've used so far this year. But Georgia kind of comes in 14-8. Overall this year. They've lost their last three games. They lost this past weekend, lost a series against Kentucky, and then they lost in midweek to Mercer. So, you know, Mississippi State's got an opportunity to win their first two series to start off SEC play. You know, with the season Mississippi State had a year ago when they finished 14th in the conference, dead last, didn't even make it to Hoover. It's really good for Mississippi State to get some confidence early on in conference play, because their conference schedule is brutal. You know, obviously I talked about having to go to previously number two ranked Vanderbilt. They also have to go to number one Florida. They also have, you know, they have to head down to Baton Rouge this year. They have to head over to Tuscaloosa this year. So, you know, the schedule makers didn't do Mississippi State any favors when they were making out the schedule. They also have, you know, Texas A&M coming in here to Starkville. That will be for Super Bulldog weekend next month. But Mississippi State has a gauntlet to, you know, before the rest of the season. So if they can get a couple of early series wins, that could really help them as they try to, you know, at least make Hoover this year and possibly, you know, into the postseason. So that's going to help their chances there.
Well, a series win at Vanderbilt is huge. A series win for Ole Miss this weekend, if they could get against South Carolina, would be big, very big. And both of these schools already have key non-conference series wins against top-ranked teams, highly ranked teams. Louisville was number two when Ole Miss won twice against them in Oxford. State has the Oregon series. So they've, both of these schools have done what they need to do in the pre-conference schedule. And when you talk about going on the road, beating a Vanderbilt, beating that highly ranked SEC opponent, you know, you start putting those weekends together. I mean, this is the kind of start that both of these teams need to have to be in the conversation for regional host when that time comes, if they just keep winning games. Now, you know, they've got the non-conference work done. They've got marquee series wins. You get up around 17 wins in the SEC schedule, you're going to be in that host conversation. So I know that's always on the radar for both of these teams. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We thank you for being with us. I want to remind you to check out the other Daily Journal podcast as well, The Memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, a news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, three times a week there with The Memo. And then Prep Rally with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps every Wednesday, all things high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Thanks for being with us, folks. Come back and join us next week.